Welcome to the Creative Hustle Podcast,
the only podcast for creative and artistic entrepreneurs.
I'm Aaron Salazar, producing artistic director of Poseidon Theater Company in New York City.
I'm Hassan Saeed, founder of House Urban, all natural skin and body care for the pro performer. It's time to hustle.
Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Hustle Podcast. We are doing something we've never done before, a part one and part two. And this is part two of content
to conversion.
So what we did in part one is I used an example of how I used my content to convert into ticket sales for my productions. This time around, we thought to cover all the bases, we should use an example of what it means to have your content equal conversion when you are selling a product. And what better person to do that other than Hassan Saeed yes. of House Urban.
So yeah, you guys, we realize that content marketing is a deep dive. Mm-hmm. And we always try to give you actionable steps to take.
Season two is about actionable steps. Hashtag spell it out.
These can be really specific. So yes. we want to kind of give you the flip side of the coin. Maybe you're not doing events or experiences, and maybe you're really driving home to a product. So we're just going to talk about some of the things that I've done in the past, both at launch, for the launch of new products, and just some general sort of principles that I have. I've spent a lot of time studying and really researching and looking at content marketing, not just for myself, but for other brands. So my take on it, I think, is very, very specific.
Well, very specific and very detail-oriented, which is why you're the perfect person to speak about this. And you were recently at what seemed to me to be quite an incredible conference of said content.
Yeah. So I was at a conference called the Social Native Summit. Social Native, what they do is they provide insights and data to brands to help them get the most out of their UGC, which is user-generated content. So they put together influencer campaigns. They track where people are taking photos of products and using certain hashtags. And then they give all that data back to the brand so they understand how to optimize their own content and reach more of those people or bigger audiences. So what they did is they brought a bunch of brands and people from agencies like myself together, and they had a bunch of different case studies with different people from major companies talking mm-hmm. about how they use the platform, but also how they specifically market their content for the best effect. So if you follow us on Twitter at HustlePod, I actually live tweeted the event.
Yeah, he did.
For about 2 hours.
Okay.
I tweeted so
pearls much. Pearls and pearls of wisdom.
The founder of Social Native stopped me at lunch and was like, keep tweeting.
Yes.
He's like, this, you're doing great. Keep tweeting. And I was like, don't you have somebody in the corner for it? Gonna mm-hmm. run me some money. It was great though. So, yeah, I think that one of the things I actually shared that day that stuck with me, and it's something that I always really believe in, is that one of the speakers talking about how brands are really expected to be brazen.
Brands are really expected to be brazen.
And it doesn't matter what you're selling. You have to have an opinion and you have to have a point of view.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the times having an opinion and a point of view means having an opinion and a point of view on things that don't necessarily have anything to do with your brand. And right now, people are really looking to align themselves with brands that have values that they share. Mm. So you've heard for a very long time that brands in particular should not wade into certain arguments, but that tide has shifted.
I mean, everything's shifted. So people why wouldn't
they want to know where you stand and look, where their money is going?
And look what happened with like Lyft and Uber. Mm-hmm. They drew a line in the sand mm-hmm. and didn't apologize.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to take. So,
yeah.
But along those lines though, especially in the beauty space, you have to have a point of view. People have to know not only why you're different, but what you're about. And I was hyper aware of that. You know, you can't just materialize a bunch of jars and bottles and be like, this is great. It's natural. Buy
yes.
this.
Yes, 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 yes.
People want to know where the F this came from.
Yeah.
And like, what? Who? Who's had their fingers in this?
Yes.
Why is this important? Why does it work? And I really like had to give some thought to how I was going to make that point of differentiation. So I launched in September of 2015. And, you know, it was a relatively a soft launch. People knew about it. They were sort of buying through things and trickling in. But I realized that I needed some more content, and particularly some video content. I needed to kind of bridge that gap because people didn't know where this came from or
yes.
who I was.
Yes.
And so much of this brand is built on my perspective of
yeah.
what beauty could be and how we solve everyday problems with products and sort of my theories on on life and self-care.
Absolutely.
So I developed this this video, and it's a content series called House Rules, H-A-U-S.
It is, in my opinion, Hassan's Oprah moment. It's so that to me. I was like,
the music is very Oprah Super Soul Sunday.
There is no shame in being compared to Oprah, but I remember when he did it, he like emerges from a whiteout, crisp as day. It had that energy about it, and it also instantly, he was speaking to you,
yeah,
the proverbial you, and not talking about just a product. He was talking about you taking care of yourself and you being good to yourself. And yeah, that you felt instantly, oh, this dude is about this.
It's about wellness.
It's about wellness.
And that was really it. So we covered a lot of topics. You know, we talked about how you have to believe in yourself and you have to understand that you are enough. And if you don't, whatever's in the jars and the bottles isn't going to work anyway. And we talked about,
yeah,
you know, how your fragrance is your story. It's a story, yes, that your body tells. So what are you putting on your body and what fragrances are you choosing? And do you want to smell like a prosciutto plate, or do you want to give it a little more thought?
Good morning.
With the cucumber and a melon.
Yes.
Treating your body well and how everything is connected to how well we treat our bodies and honor it. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect to beat your skin up on the day-to-day basis and then it's gonna, you know, be perfect for you and show up when you need it. So all of these things are connected. And I think within that minute and a half, I really gave people a perspective on how I was approaching things and what the brand, the essence of the brand is.
Well,
about.
And I know you, and I watched it. I literally was like, I am enough. I am enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And therein lies the beginning of that content experience, which leads to people click. And then you get that callback, as we call it in the theater.
Yeah.
And people continue forward.
And it was great because a lot of the feedback that I got in the early days of the brand was, we don't see enough of you here.
Yes.
You know,
we had talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot. You know, the packaging is great. The ingredients are good, but there's not enough of you in the product.
And I mean, look at Elizabeth Arden, a total other side of that, where all it was Elizabeth Arden. Right. And she made things that made you pretty. Yeah. But Elizabeth Arden was what was up.
Yeah, and she was also beautiful.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is she understood that I've got something of value here, and I'm dope. Mm-hmm. So let me be the example of my dopeness.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And it took me a long time to kind of step into that.
Well, you were doing the thing that I think is tethered to people who are self-producing. And I mean, well, hello, entrepreneurs. This is what we're about here. Is you were trying to have a sense of humility and let the product speak for itself. Because at the end of the day, especially with our backgrounds, if you wanted to be an actor and always have everything be about you, you would have just done that.
Right.
But you were creating something that was an extension of yourself. What I have gathered is it has paid off very well.
It has. I saw an immediate return.
Yes.
It was an expensive shoot.
Hello.
It was a lot of money.
He appears out of like just thin air, like fucking Lord of the Rings. I was like, what is Gandalf transition? Go.
But it set a tone. And yes, because it set the tone.
Well, and you can never go back.
You can't go back.
There, that's something to think about, everyone. Don't fucking play with fire, because once you burn the house down, it's gone.
But I don't want you to be afraid because for that reason either.
No, right.
You shouldn't hold back because you're like, oh, how am I going to top this?
And also, too, there should be something said about the fact that what you can do with a, yes, expensive budget, but even less expensive than what an agency would cost you, and what you can accomplish with your taste level is the most important part.
And when I say expensive, that's relative. It's expensive for me because I had just launched. So mm-hmm. I'd spend thousands of dollars.
On units.
On units and the site build and everything else. And granted, like, given, you know, my wonderful friends who helped me on that shoot and all the resources that I had, it wound up being a lot cheaper than it normally would have been for anybody else.
Right.
So I had to be very careful in how I phrased that, but it was still like all the money that I had left in the world.
And for most of you who are self-funding the first start of your business, I would venture to say that it was an investment that did indeed pay off. But I will say this as an outsider looking into that launch, he was so crystal clear on his brand identity that it made the investment worth it. Don't put that money into something and be wishy-washy about your brand identity. Hasan, tell me if you can unpack what I mean by that.
So I wanted everything to be consistent, obviously, but there are hallmarks of the brand, right? So
yes.
There's a selection of teals and blues and greens that carry throughout all of the packaging. Everything has a certain, it's the same consistent font across the board. So throughout the video, there are words that pop up
yes.
that emphasize certain things that I'm saying for a visual. And all of every last font, those are the same fat packaging fonts that I use in the video.
Yes.
So everything that's on the bottle is in that video in terms of
yes.
the actual font itself. It opens with the floating house logo. It's our actual logo. It's
yes.
That specific teal seafoam green.
Yeah.
Even down to the way that it was color processed and filtered. Like, that's the same aesthetic that we try to give you on the website and that carries through in the feeling you're supposed to get when you're opening the product.
Let's talk about that. It is the exact aesthetic that carries through when you're physically opening up the product. So then it shows up to you in a beautifully packaged box, and that experience continues. Note all those really, yes, granular, as Hasan says, but truly granular details. But that is how detailed you have to be. You have to go through this content with a fine-tooth comb. A fine-tooth comb to make sure that what you are doing is going to pay off. Because, you know, Hasan filmed that several years ago, and it 100% is still relevant to the experience if you click on it today.
Yeah.
You did go through a lot of A-B testing, more or less, with like the aesthetic of house, ..
Right.
Like when I first remember, just even, I mean, I got the first products a million years ago. And pterodactyls brought it to me.
flying pigeons.
I was like, hello, small. I was like, ooh, lip balm.
made
by my friend. But that being said, once he committed to that, the content always reflects that. And once I feel like you have raged forward with particularly your Oprah videos, I will always refer to it, you've never really looked back. It's been pretty full steam ahead since then with all of your visual content,
yeah.
especially your damn videos.
Yeah.
That Savage Blonde, how dare you?
So let's talk about Savage Blonde.
Savage Blonde
was the next sort of launch that I did. It was the newest body butter that had come out, and it's the first one that kind of was separate from a full collection.
Yeah.
I developed the fragrance for it. It took a really long time to get done. It was the first like true unisex fragrance I felt with that. It was the first new product in over a year since we'd launched. It was a big deal. And it was about a vibe, you know, like.
Very much.
It was about, I always say this all the time, the fragrance is shaman meets showgirl.
Yo.
It smells like revenge sex. So.
Yes, it smells like revenge sex. Hashtag that.
So there's an element of danger and there was an edginess that I wanted there to be. So for that, they didn't make any sense for me to sit in front of the camera and be like, so let me tell you how I feel about this. We shot a video of a very beautiful woman putting on her lipstick very vigorously.
Shit was lit.
With intent.
Yes.
It was a very tight shot. And then we cut that with all these sort of seismic environmental things happening. So there's storms and there's speed ups of orchids blooming in real time in front of you that are cut, again, with that same font, splashing in between, spelling out Savage Blonde, with this really dope music track underneath it that had this driving sense of urgency mm-hmm. and this really dark beat. And we just let it rock for 30 seconds and let you know that it was coming.
Yeah, very much. It was very pow of a visual. We are going to continue forward talking to you about the Savage House. That makes no sense. Okay, we're going to take a break, clearly. We'll be right back. So much information.
All the time.
So many things that we rapidly say to you in a quick succession of now less than 37 minutes generally.
And we have a lot to share.
And what is happening
now.
We're oversharers. We really are. In life in general. Hey, what are you gonna do? Birds of a feather. So with that being said, I'm also starting to hear feedback from people I know asking questions about some of these things we bring up on the air, so yeah. to speak. So what we want to do is invite you to ask us. We're interested in you.
So yeah, send us your questions. Like, do you have specific business questions? Are there things that you're struggling with? Do you need an opinion on something?
Do you have a success story?
Yeah.
Do you have something that was an epic failure that you'd like to share that you learned from?
Yeah. Or do you have a success story after you listen to the podcast and you actually applied some of these tools that we give you?
Hey.
We love gold stars.
Even better. So you can get in touch with us at info@creativehustlepodcast.com. Or you can Twitter us at
HustlePod.
Yes, at HustlePod on Twitter. Or you could hit us up on Facebook or feel free to DM us on Instagram. We will check you out. Also give you a shout out. Free promotion.
Free promo. Who doesn't love free promo?
Who can be like, I was listening to a podcast about entrepreneurs and now I'm on it being promoted. Get into it. So hit us up at info@creativehustlepodcast.com and we will shimmy and shake our way into giving you the answer that you need.
All the way through your life.
All the way through your life. That's right. Live your best life. Really. I mean, who doesn't love a good bossa nova beat? I ask you.
It makes me so happy.
It makes me so happy. My God, what bliss. And it's summertime right now as we record this, so let's get into the mood.
Yeah.
So Hassan, you've cranked out some pretty epic content.
Mm.
Talk to me about what has happened with said content.
So I always look at things in terms of hero and micro, especially when I'm creating video content.
Hero,
yeah, so,
and micro.
Yeah, so I always try to do a hero video, which is something that's going to be a little longer. So that's your 30 seconds to a minute of like, this is the big overarching story. And then
yes.
I usually take that and I make micro content out of it. So I'll create chunks. So maybe it's a 6-second ad. Maybe it's 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yes.
So that way you have multiple pieces of content from the bigger thing that you shot to serve different purposes.
Word. Kind of the how we've called these B-sides.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So for House Rules, what I did was at the time, you couldn't put that long a video on Instagram.
Yes.
So it made sense because I had each rule numbered, you know, rule one, rule two, rule three. I could take each of those segments and then upload them individually to Instagram and I could create a whole story out of it.
Yes.
And I could drive people directly to the website instead of driving them to YouTube to watch the bigger commercial, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. So I spaced all of that out. So over the course of a couple of days, I did rule one. And then I went into the copy of Instagram and like talked about it.
Yes.
The essence of what was there in the video was in the copy, but I didn't necessarily give it all away. But I did expound on it in ways that I couldn't in the video.
Which was making possible new customers more intrigued.
Right. So they were kind of seeing this happen and they were seeing the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, okay, great. Let me see the stuff.
Yes.
So it really drove traffic to the site.
Conversion.
Clicks. Conversion.
Isn't it amazing how thumbs are so important to
mm-hmm.
our lives?
Exactly. Hey. Particularly opposable thumbs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cats don't buy merchandise.
Yeah.
They little like, meow. Okay.
So that's how I rolled that out. And then I used it on a few different platforms. I even did like some Facebook ads with the video.
Yeah.
And that converted really well as well. And it really boosted the traffic.
Yes.
For that first year. And people were actually kind of recognizing me from the video who hadn't even seen the products. And
there,
the video was being shared over and over again.
There
so
you have it.
They weren't even necessarily into the skincare aspect, but it was the messaging that resonated with them.
Yes.
That was the added bonus.
Absolutely. So there goes that part of the experience. Now, what I have found really interesting is how you have continued to let people get to know you as a personality, as someone who has the company House Urban, but going into a sub-brand of just people hanging out with you
yeah.
on Hey Hassan.
Yeah. So Hey Hassan really was the answer to a problem that I was having. And the problem was I felt like I was only reaching out to people via either my email list or online or like creating this content because I was trying to sell to them.
Yes. You know, and on the flip side of that, for anyone that's listening that doesn't relate to that immediately, it's kind of like the way a lot of us in the performing arts feel like all I'm ever fucking doing is asking you to fundraise or like give me money.
Right.
And there has
I
to
have
be
a show, come see it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there has to be something else you can say to them.
But there has to be a rapport.
There has to be
you
a rapport.
Know? People buy from people. They don't really buy from brands, right? That's why brands have spokespeople, because they need a human face.
Absolutely.
And I recognized that early on, but I also just realized that I can't really expect people to trust me to put my products on their face and their body if they have no connection to me. There's got to be an emotional undercurrent.
At the same time, too, I think what you've done is really genius because you have created a sub channel of Hey Hassan where you completely review something that has nothing to do with your own products, but is still consistently expressing your taste level. I mean, straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was strategic.
And
you know?
It's frankly quite whimsical.
Yeah.
It's not like dark or weird or like, hey, like even though he's like reading sometimes, maybe like these drinks, it's never dark or menacing. It's quite whimsical and enjoyable. And I find that to be what I love most about it. And the editing's fucking great. But tell them about the name of your show on Hey Hasan.
So right now, the main show on Hey Hasan is called I've Been Drinking. And it's a
beverage. I've been drinking.
A little nod to Beyonce.
Hey.
And it's a beverage review show. Yeah. And it's my first impressions of different random drinks.
Actually, let me get deeper than that. It more than random drinks. Hasan is doing the Lord's work. He is grabbing off the fucking shelf all those GD bougie ass drinks we see at our favorite expensive stores, okay, where we're like, I don't know, I was kind of thinking about maybe getting that, some maple water, who knows, I mean, maybe it's delicious, maybe I'll feel balanced and refreshed, and he actually fucking tries it.
Right, because he's like, are you going to throw that $4 in the street? Like, do you want to know, but sometimes you're not willing to jump off the cliff, right?
Absolutely, and we're so inundated with fucking beverages.
And they are new ones all the time. And I love a little cute, like, drink. I love a little drink. I love a snack cake.
Yes.
Like, it totally aligned with my interest. So I thought, okay, why don't I go play over in this space? Like, yes. I'm not selling any drinks. Like, they ain't nothing for me to sell.
You're not even
here.
Getting paid to review them.
Right.
He's just doing it.
I'm doing it on my own volition.
On his flexi straw system.
Yeah. You're seeing me. And I'm not going to say unedited because the videos are edited, but those moments are real.
But
I'm tasting these things for the very first time.
Yeah, there's no ring light. I don't know what you're talking about. you're not just like completely snatched for the gods.
But also my skin looks
great. Hey, and he uses his products. So, you know.
You know, there are things. But I really wanted to be able to give people something.
Yes.
Without the expectation of them having to buy from me. So here's my public service.
Yeah.
And I say it in the tagline. I try random drinks so you don't have to, or maybe you will one day.
Hey.
And that's the hope. And people have responded really well, and they get to know me and what I'm about and kind of what my taste level is and what gets me excited. And, you know, it's usually something like dumb and fizzy, and that's okay. But the bridge to that is because we established that rapport and I wasn't trying to hard sell you, when the time comes and maybe you hear from me or you see me in another space, you're going to make that connection.
Yes.
And then you're going to go, okay, well, this is what you're doing over here. Let me see it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look at fucking Tom Ford. I'm saying in the sense
that. Yeah, follow.
Okay. I made a left in my brain and didn't tell anyone where I was going. Tom Ford, when he took over and really was like, I'm as handsome and as kind of gorgeous as the clothes I'm repping for, really fucking changed shit with him being the face of some of his own brands. Mm-hmm. To me, I wanted to fucking be Tom Ford. I didn't even know I liked Gucci. I don't really care about those kind of labels. They don't mean anything to me. But for the first time in my life, I had a desire because I thought he seemed fucking cool. And I would watch him like have interviews and he'd do these, all this content, right?
Yeah.
Of him getting to know him, being fucking Don Draper or whatever the hell he is. Right? And for the first time in my life, my mouth watered for high-end brands. And I've never thought like that before. I've looked at it and been like, how gorgeous. But I just don't think about spending my money on it.
My mouth's been watering for high-end brands since I was about six.
Okay. So no, but what? So, I mean, I hope I justified that Tom Ford comparison. But he was, to me, an example of opening up my eyes and not even realizing that I desired to purchase something from such a high-end brand. Mm. So to me, what you're doing, in a sense, you are being your own Tom Ford.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Ford is one of my icons. Like, and
he's
such
a,
that
he's
I
so
love,
badass.
The people in those spaces that I worship are bigger personalities. I love Tom Ford. I live and breathe for Kimora Lee Simmons.
Yes. There you go.
She's part of my DNA and how to be a boss and how do you rep a brand and how do you establish a lifestyle.
I mean, you like her.
Right.
You like her.
And I trust her.
Yeah.
So I've had some really great sort of examples now that I'm willing to sort of step into that. Yeah, the people that I kind of gravitate to and look to as North Stars, they're those people. So it makes sense. So now I'm working on my new project.
Yes.
Which is the Bunny Band.
The Bunny Band, ladies and gentlemen.
It's so dope. It's a microfiber skincare headband. So you put it on when you're doing your skincare, you're putting on your makeup, when you're getting ready to set your wig for the day or for the show, whatever it is. And they tie up into little bunny ears because all of my customers, I refer to them as house bunnies.
Yes.
They are my bunnies. So it was kind of perfect brand synergy. And I wanted to give people something that would encourage them to spend more time on their routine. And it'll inspire you to want to wash your face. And I was also looking at the data too, you know, like people love those Snapchat filters where they look like animals. And like, we're now at a point though, we know that that's not what you look like. We know you don't have whiskers, but it softens everything up. And
absolutely.
If you're going to take the selfie, take it in the bunny band.
100%. And what I find amazing is that that came out organically from your own GD lifestyle. Literally the way you would wrap. I remember you, am I wrong that you used to actually do that and you didn't even realize that you made little bunny ears?
Yeah.
The way you would wrap your headband.
Yeah.
So it came out of something organic that was sincere that actually had to do with him taking care of his own damn skin. And actually that's a really good point for, I think, anyone that's doing any kind of product. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the reason why, let's use another very famous person. Now, obviously, she inherited this empire, but like Donatella Versace probably some days is like, I don't think today I want to blow out my hair. Mm-hmm. But she fucking does, okay? Right. She slaps on that Versace drag every fucking time she's in public.
Yeah.
And I bet you those days she would rather be in some kicks and some sweats.
Yeah.
And just being, living her life and enjoying the empire. But she simply cannot. She has to walk the walk and talk the talk. Otherwise you don't believe.
You don't believe.
Yeah.
You gotta believe.
Done, done. Oprah. Oprah does it too.
Yeah.
Prime example. Walking the walk, talking the talk, always spitting out nuggets of knowledge and looking amazing.
So yeah. So for the bunny bands, it's my first merch product and that was a big deal. So
let's make the distinction because people are probably like, don't you have ... his first merch product.
Yeah. So people wanted merchandise outside of the products, right?
Which is a great sign.
Like they want to promote the
brand. Which, let's bring it all back, was because of the meticulous detailing of the beginning of his content. Mm.
They see themselves in the brand.
Yes.
And so now they want other people to know about it and they're proud house bunnies and they want to tell the world about it.
And because it's becoming a lifestyle.
It truly is.
It's dope.
But, you know, I don't have anything against it, but I didn't want to do a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense for me.
I agree, actually, 100%. Because
what's that got to do with skincare?
And also, if you beat your face after they did all your skincare, then you have to take off a fucking shirt. No.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
So I wanted to do something that was going to make sense and that was going to encourage you to use your product and it's going to make you feel cute and it's going to give you a moment.
Yeah.
And that's how the bunny bands came along. So since it was the first merch product, we needed to do some sort of shoot to show people what it looked like and all the options that it came in. So I booked 6 incredible women.
Yes.
To model these bunny bands, and we got some heavy hitters.
Yes.
We got a few like Broadway divas and some girls with some credits, some girls who were making their way through like TV and film, and one model in particular who it was her first gig. Like I guess I can say I discovered her.
Yes.
And she's incredible, and they're all different ages and they're very diverse. And so I'm getting off track. Content. We shot all of this stuff for the website, but we're doing a full social media campaign. So we're doing Instagram ads
and all Instagram this off ads. The hook BTS.
Yeah. We have some behind the scenes video coming. We did a really great Instagram story that entire day.
It was like
Instagram
movie. It was amazing.
So we talked to each of the girls.
I hope you saved that.
I did most of it because Instagram's acting crazy.
Yes, 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 yes.
So I got 92% of it. Good. I'm mad about the other 8%. But we really kind of took you, even with the Instagram story, I really wanted to take you inside the day. If you couldn't be there, here's what's going on. So you got all of it. From me talking to the models, to them doing wardrobe changes, talking directly to the camera about their favorite House Urban products and how they like to style the bunny band.
Yeah.
We had some moments with the photographer. Like, everyone was there and seen. And it really got people excited about the bands. Like, I'm getting daily messages being like, when is it coming? I need it. But where is it?
It's soon, yes.
Yeah, so it'll be dropping on June 8th. So probably by the time you hear this, y'all.
June 8th.
The bunny bands will be available for sale on houseurban.com.
The bunny bands on houseurban.com.
So yeah, and even that. So we have the bunny bands coming in June. July is the new dry body oil, which has been in the works for a long time.
Dry body oil.
Yeah, so it's It's hydrating like an oil, but it absorbs very quickly.
Oh, shit.
So you can put your clothes on and do what you got to do. Get out the door. And also, it's a really beautiful neroli fragrance that I've been working on forever. And then in August, we have an all-new collection of lip lights coming out.
Ooh! I just had
4 brand new flavors.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. P.S. If you want to start off your journey with House Urban, get a lip glide and go from there.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just so much truth. But here goes. This, I hope, was a good resource for you to hear, because this is a tangible storyline. Wait, let me take that back. This is a storyline that started with content that 100% went into the conversion of people actually purchasing from House Urban, and now has started to begin the advent of people wanting the lifestyle of the brand. But it all started with incredible detail to your content.
Understand, content is king and queen.
And also, too, I think there's something to be said that, like, we should talk about before we wrap up here. Yeah. There are pauses between these campaigns.
Yeah.
There's definitely like a, okay, you're living your best life.
You're making a great point. There have been spaces between the campaigns.
There have been spaces between the campaigns, yes, right? Between the big campaigns.
But there's always content going out. And there's something that I want to tell you guys is very important. So sometimes when we come to like daily content for our brands, we get stuck. Mm-hmm. We're like, what should I do? What photo should I take? When in doubt. And it's something that I learned from the one and only Gary Vaynerchuk himself. Like, he told me this directly, looked me in my eyes, and said this to me. But he said it in as many of his videos, but we had a conversation about it. He said, you should focus on documenting and not creating. Because if you focus on documenting, you'll always have content. You'll always have something to share.
You mean documenting the journey of your brand.
Right. So sure, you're going to need to do a campaign, right, which you'll need to create at some point.
Yeah.
You have milestones and big things coming. But as far as your day-to-day content goes, it can be as simple as what you're working on right now, what that process looks like. That can be your Instagram post. But that's exactly what I was thinking about with Bunny Bands, because I knew there was going to be an X amount of time between the time that we shot everything and it actually came out.
Yes.
And people were hungry for it. And they wanted to know more. Mm-hmm. So let's take them inside. So I literally documented the day, and that gave me 3 weeks of content to work with.
And if you heard in part one, I went off about that shit. It was, not even in part one. If you heard in a previous episode, I went apeshit over that. It literally reminded me of everything you've ever seen of like all my childhood dreams of the 90s when I used to watch MTV and they would go behind the scenes of like Todd Oldham. So if you don't know who Todd Oldham is, look him up. Have some damn respect. That guy taught me how to make wallpaper for 50 cents.
You know, Todd Oldham has a kids company now, right?
He does?
Yeah. He makes like furniture and lifestyle things for kids.
Because he's whimsical as fuck.
And he lives in a tree house.
Ugh.
It was in a big, luxurious treehouse.
He was the original white hipster. Before it was cool. He really was.
Let me show you how to make your jeans into a bag.
Yeah, he'd be like, hey, guys, I know that you're kind of poor right now, but we have $6 and a flea market. We're going to show you how to fucking turn this shit out. And we were like, Todd Oldham, I believe. We grew up on this shit, okay? So, everyone, I hope that these new series and episodes of us giving you actionable resources to actually apply to your journey as a creative hustler are helping. Like we said, feel free to reach out to us with any ideas you have as well. And just pat yourself on the back. And like Hassan says, you are enough. Okay. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. And you just have to keep raging forward in the direction of your goals and your dreams. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Creative Hustle Podcast. We adore you. Make sure to like, rate, and subscribe us on your favorite application. And like we always say,
don't get it perfect. Get it going.
Yes.